right? We got a lot of different things coming at you today, okay? And I'm just sensing a little bit of a lull right now. That. We don't got time for that. All right? Let's go. Break it. Break it. Let it cross. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert and Derek Johnson on FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk, FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. With Derek Johnson, I'm Nick Schwert. Happy to have you with us on a lovely Thursday afternoon. Scott Chasen of Fog.net and 24/7 Sports will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. We've got another couple matchups. Today, we're only going to have two matchups. We're slowing it down because there's 32 first-round matchups, and we're doing 16 a week, so we'll do two today, two tomorrow. We'll have half of the first-round matchups done. We'll continue with the rest of the first round. The first round is going to take by far the longest to get through, and then everything after that is going to go subsequently quicker. So we'll do two today, coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll knock those both out at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, out at 5, as we have been for the past couple of weeks. Something I want you to chew on. You don't have to answer right now. Actually, Derek, you have to answer right now. Everybody else, take some time if you need it. What is the greatest sporting event in film history? Not the greatest sports movie, the greatest sporting event in film history. And quite frankly, it doesn't even need to be from a sports movie. I think you actually get bonus points if you come up with a sporting event from a non-sports movie. I put this out on Twitter earlier today. The replies that I've got, fantastic so far. One of the ones that stood out to me, just to give you an example of a sporting event from a non-sports movie, the football game from Wedding Crashers, the football game. One of the ones that came to mind for me, ended up going back and watching it on YouTube today, the pickup basketball game in Along Came Pauly with Ben Stiller and
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip
Rainmaker, Philip Seymour Hoffman. And Sasquatch. Great film. So what is the greatest sporting event? And I'll tell you why after you give me some suggestions. But there is a reason that I'm asking this question today.
Okay, I would put up there Top Gun, the volleyball scene. That's like might be the most iconic scene from a pretty iconic movie.
Yeah, it's
a
very iconic scene.
So that would be a good one. I would personally say like The Longest Yard. Because just think about like if that actually happened in real life. A game between prisoners and the guards. And there's, like, snipers on the roof of the football stadium.
Oh, it's
televised.
It's a packed
like
football
Chris
stadium.
Chris Berman's
calling the game. His color analyst is an inmate. Because even in the cons versus guards game, the broadcast was like, well, we need to get an unbiased view. So we should probably get a felon to get up in the booth with Berman, who provided, like, no commentary. Peter King, Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer, John McClain, all of these, like, big-time NFL national writers are like, well, we better drop what we're doing to go see this prison guard versus convict game. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Adam Sandler's character was a former NFL MVP. So.
Yeah, so that's cool, too. You know what else I would throw up there? Air Bud.
Well, which?
I mean, pick which one. But if you want to go with the original, the, I don't know what, like, are they in middle school, that kid? Like, the seventh grade basketball game with Air Bud.
That's a really good one, too. I like that. We've got some great replies. Mortal Kombat from Mortal Kombat.
I've never seen that movie.
You've never seen Mortal Kombat?
I've never seen that movie.
It's iconic. It's an iconic combat movie. Somebody said the... Does this count as a sporting event? I'm going to need your ruling on this. The network anchor brawl from Anchorman. Where all the different TV stations get together.
No,
if you wanted to
there
consider
has to be
that
an official there.
If you wanted to, well, they had rules, no touching of the hair or face.
That's true.
So, I mean.
Okay, maybe it is then.
I mean, that's one of the basic tenets of a sporting event is to have rules and guidelines that you have to follow. I say we count it.
I think one thing's for sure, though, like, it cannot be, it's almost like it can't be real, right? Like, Okay, Coach Carter, for instance, I think that's one of the better sports movies. It's not your classic ending. Sorry if I'm spoiling this for you, but it's like a 10-15-year-old movie where it ends with a win or something like that, and it's all everybody's all happy, all that stuff. But it's a real movie. It's based off of real events. So, like, that doesn't count. The Glory Roads with, like, Texas Western and Kansas. You can't pick that. That was real.
Well, that's... Before you start throwing stipulations out there, I should probably explain the reason why I'm asking. Because your rules don't make sense without some context, right? And the context is that everybody right now, in the absence of sports, what are they doing? Let's go back and rewatch old games, right? They put the 08 National Championship on TV. This past weekend, they had the 2018 Elite Eight game between KU and Kentucky. CBS, ESPN, they were playing all of these classic NCAA tournament games, these classic NFL games. I think they showed the Super Bowl. Did they do the Super Bowl or was it a different Chiefs game? I don't know. But all these networks are saying, well, if we don't have sports, what do sports fans love? Old sports games, right? Let's just go back and review those. And then people are taking it a step further. Bill Self and KU are doing this digital series where you're kind of going into the coach's room, the film room with Bill Self, and he's breaking down all of these different moments from these iconic classical KU basketball games. And it's great content, and we're in the business of content. Do we want to just try and be as good as everybody else doing the exact same thing, breaking down these old games, or should we venture out and do something new? I'm thinking, instead of just getting on the bandwagon of going back and breaking down all of these old classic games, why don't we deviate a bit and break down some of the fictional, the great fictional games? Because you talk about games that are meant for Hollywood. How about games that were made by Hollywood?
That's a fantastic idea. And, okay, so Joel just texted us an option, and this opened up my mind even more. He said Ben-Hur. I haven't seen that movie either, but I know what it's about. And they have, like, the chariot races, right? That just opened up this idea. Gladiator. That was their sport.
The original.
Back in the day.
The original combat sport.
What about A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger?
Oh, jousting.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that fan in the corner of the room is about to explode, by the way. So you may want to go fix that. I'm deathly afraid of that noise. Yeah, all of that stuff. Anything. I say we open up the parameters as to what is a sporting event as much as we can without sacrificing the integrity.
What's the movie about cheerleading?
Bring It On.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely. Cheerleading.
Bring
is a
it
sport.
On.
Some classical ones that come to mind for me, the Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open.
Oh,
from Dodgeball, of course, the Tour Championship from Happy Gilmore. Any of the Mighty Ducks movies. I think a lot of the people have gravitated, at least the responses I've got on Twitter so far, have gravitated towards the second Mighty Ducks movie, which I don't know exactly which event that would be. There are some in here that I don't know. The Junior Goodwill Games from Mighty Ducks 2. Some of these I don't know. Breaking Away, do you know this movie?
No.
The Indianapolis Little 500. The Pee Wee Playoff Game from Little Giants.
Oh, I loved that movie growing up. That'd be a great one.
The movie that's always been synonymous to me with Little Giants is The Big Green. So I say we just go back, find a game. You know The Big Green?
No,
the
I
soccer
don't.
Movie?
Uh-uh.
The catcher from The Sandlot is in.
Okay.
So that kid.
Oh, what about Kicking and Screaming? Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah, the soccer game with who's his father-in-law, Mike Ditka?
Yeah.
Perfect. There are so many good games here. So, yeah, like Friday Night Lights was a suggestion we got. But Friday Night Lights,
yeah, it's
based off
a real
story. Because if we're going to break down these games, I mean, I'm talking about analytics, X's and O's, storylines. Not the movie themselves, but the sporting event themselves. I want to break down these games and find out what is truly the greatest sporting event, the most iconic sporting event in movie history. I say we start it, we'll see how it goes, and maybe we'll do one a week. But first, we need to figure out what the first one's going to be. I say we chew on it just a little bit. I know Scott Chasen's going to join us here in a couple minutes. We'll see if he has any good suggestions, but we chew on it. Maybe we'll put it up to a poll.
I was going to say, we could come up with our four best, put it up to a poll.
The classic game that I think everyone's going to throw out there, state title game from Hoosiers.
Yeah.
That's probably the most iconic one.
I don't really want to do that, though.
How about Beer Olympics from Beer Fest?
See, that sounds more fun. I want things that are more unique, obscure.
The Apache Relay from Heavyweights is it's a really good one, too.
I don't think I've seen that one either.
You've never seen Heavyweights?
No.
Ben Stiller?
No.
He's Tony Perkis, the Perkis system? He runs his own fat camp?
Not ringing a bell.
Oh, man. We may have to start with that one just so you can get a feel for it. I think there's a lot of good suggestions. Keep it coming. Joel just texted us the rugby game from Monty Python's Meaning of Life. There are so many that you're not thinking of because they're not sports movies. Right. That's why I think the bonus points for non-sports movies. So we'll chew on it for the rest of the show.
What's that movie with, he's like a TSA agent, and it's with that blonde girl. I'm completely butchering this movie. It came out a couple years ago.
The TSA agent.
She's out of your league, I think.
Oh, they play basement hockey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Uh-huh. Oh, man, there's some really good ones out there. So keep the suggestions coming. We're going to figure out which one to start with. And sometime next week, hopefully early next week, Monday or Tuesday, we'll pick a movie. We'll pick the sporting event from the movie. We'll let you guys know. We'll all watch it together. And then on the show, we'll break it down, X's and O's. Maybe we'll get some real-life journalists to come on and break down the game. That's why I would love to do, like, Cool Runnings. Somebody suggested that. The Olympic trials.
Yeah, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Get a bobsled expert to come on and break down the form.
Do you know any bobsled experts?
We'll figure it out, man. Okay. No, what do they have to do? The Olympics just got postponed, so.
I mean, not the Winter Olympics.
But that's not for like two more years anyways. What are they doing? Sitting around waiting until 2022 to do anything? Come on. They've got to do something. Get your voice out there. We'll learn a little bit about bobsledding in the process. We'll ask Scott Chasen if he has any good suggestions. He joins us next. I'm Nick Schwert. He's Derek Johnson. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert and Derek Johnson on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
Got some great suggestions coming in here. The figure skating finals from Blades of Glory. The Caddy Day tournament. From Caddyshack.
Does every Will Ferrell movie have one that can go on here?
Semi-pro.
Except for Step Brothers. Unless I'm missing something. Singing competition.
Yeah. I think even Harry Potter with Quidditch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
street hockey from Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. Great suggestions. Keep them coming. You can send them to us on our Twitter page at RCST1320 or on our text line 785-843-1321. Scott Chasen of Fog.net joins us now on the show. Scott, when I mention sporting events from movies, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Well, the first thing that actually came to mind for me was the sporting events that I didn't like in movies, because I guess that's just how I'm wired. But like, I thought about Air Bud. Like, that was the first thing that came to mind of how much of a disaster like that would have been. And then thinking about a movie like Draft Day, and I guess that wasn't really a sporting event. I have a couple though that I would like to submit to you as the potential best sporting event. So can I go with a few of them?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so I think my number one, after giving it a lot of thought, was whatever basketball game was taking place in Like Mike. You'd probably have to go look those up, but I think that was just generally a good time when we could imagine a child playing in the NBA.
That is good. Yeah, I like that.
I also like I guess it was the division championship from Rookie of the Year. I guess technically it would have been the NLCS game.
Yeah.
Game 7 or whatever they were calling it. They did it weird, like, because it was like the division title, but that was going to advance them to the World Series, which isn't really how that works. But that game, to me, a child again pitching against actual baseball players and having to goad someone and stepping off the first base back essentially to get a free out. I think that one has to be on your list.
Yeah, and doesn't he strike the final guy out by throwing it underhand? What kind of pitch would that in today, what would be the terminology? Is that an Ephus pitch, Derek?
Yeah.
The underhand that he just throws like 40 feet near the air?
It's the underhand extra slow changeup is the official
thing. it's called the curveball thrown by Joaquin Soria. Hey, there's a joke from 2014.
Yeah, very topical reference. Thanks for the walk. We haven't had a Joaquin Soria reference in a while. You know, I like the Tour Championship with Happy Gilmore, but just because of all the storylines you've got, everybody remembers Happy Gilmore for being this guy who bombed it off the tee. He comes back from a massive deficit in the Tour Championship, and while he's known as being a bomber, he won it by getting hot with his putter. And to me, those are the sorts of storylines, like journalists, fans would really cling on to.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about that is the kind of unbelievable collapse by Shooter McGavin, who, for all, you know, this guy had tons of poise throughout the tour, and I guess he got frustrated, but he had such a ridiculous lead, and it's hard for me to buy that meltdown happening. Much easier for me to believe an eighth grader pitching in the World Series.
You don't buy, was it really a meltdown by Shooter McGavin, or was it Happy just driving and putting? I mean, he was driving every green and two-putting everything. Like, that's a good recipe for success.
It certainly is, but, I mean, you look at the scores and just how quickly he climbed, and, you know, you're talking about, I don't know that there's a comparison because Happy Gilmore is a cartoon character. I also think, you know, just maybe some PED testing might have answered a lot of questions about the Tour Championship that year. I don't want to say anyone should lose their job. There was also a lot of politics involved. Happy should have been kicked off the tour, you'll recall, and the only reason he wasn't was because he was so entertaining. I don't want to be the bad guy here, but if I'm Shooter McGavin, I'm suing the entire world of golf in that universe.
I like that, too. The alternate storylines that haven't really been touched on. Potential PED use in Happy Gilmore. Those are good suggestions. We're going to chew on this, and maybe we'll do it week by week because we have no real sporting events to break down, so we may as well go to some fictional sporting events. Something we talked about a little bit yesterday, Scott, was the prospects of how this NBA draft process is going to go. Is it going to be limited or eliminated altogether, and how that's going to ultimately impact decisions? I believe we touched on it a bit last week, but how would you kind of handicap the chances of either Ochai Agbaji or Marcus Garrett, or if there's another name you want to throw out there, potentially testing the waters, knowing that the draft process is going to be significantly impacted this year?
Yeah, well, look, I actually think the draft process is kind of dumb from this perspective. You get advantages just by declaring and testing that you can work with certain people and work extra hours with certain trainers than you would be able to than if you stayed. So at least from my perspective, it would make sense for every single player every single year, no matter their prospects, to declare just because of the limited NCAA practice time. I mean, that is if they care about improving their game. So I would, if I were advising Ochai Agbaji and Marcus Garrett and all those guys, I would tell them all to declare and take advantage of that extra time and see if you can get some feedback, even if there aren't things like the combine. Look, I know it's not going to be the same because you won't get to go through the process, and maybe it won't be as helpful in terms of draft, but it's invaluable just in terms of having a chance to work on your game, having those extra hours to put in, and really every single player should be doing it. I don't know if they start to restrict it at a certain point, or if they would look at it and say, no, you're not a legitimate D1, prospect or draft prospect at this point. We're not going to let you take advantage in this way, or we don't believe you're taking it seriously. If they're not judging that, then I really think you'd have no reason not to go at least see how close you can get to that kind of environment and put yourself in a position to work with some new people and do all that.
As of right now, between those two guys, who do you think is the better pro prospect?
I think long-term Ochai Agbaji is, because he has the potential to be really good defensively, but he's obviously got that plus athleticism and the better shot. Now, I will say this. I think Marcus Garrett is more pro-ready now. I think he could step into the NBA tomorrow and still provide things with his defense. I think he's an underrated athlete, but he's certainly not explosive to the level as a guy like Ochai Agbaji, or even to like a guy like Christian Brown at this point. So obviously that's kind of a minus against him, but you would think he has a better handle, he's a better passer, he's a much better defender, even though Ochai Agbaji is a pretty good defender. I just think if Ochai continues to develop, he plays his first or I guess second full season. He's had two seasons cut short, one by obviously coronavirus, and then the other, because he redshirted and only played half the season. I think another year will probably do wonders for his development. And even though, again, I think Marcus Garrett is more pro-ready today, I would have to give it to Ochai long-term just because of what he could be.
Much like the draft process, recruiting is being hampered significantly. The NCAA just announced yesterday that they're extending the dead period. For KU, though, does that really impact them all that much as it pertains to next season? Because it seems like their draft class is full, and if I've done the math correctly, I don't believe they have any scholarships remaining, do they?
No, so they had one open scholarship coming into the year, and then they're going to lose three guys with Dotson, Asabuki, and Moss, and then obviously they signed four already, so that would seem to fill it up perfectly. And I would just say this. The one thing it's kind of helped is it's pushed back this vote on determining if transfers are going to be able to be eligible immediately, and I suppose you could get into a situation where, you know, come June or July or whenever they ultimately make that decision, a bunch of guys decide to jump ship, and that maybe includes a guy or two from Kansas, although, you know, I don't expect that at that point. But even then, they'd be able to fill that name pretty quickly because, you know, just about anyone could be eligible immediately. So it maybe slowed that down a little bit would be my only guess. Although even at some places like Wichita State or elsewhere, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know, you're seeing guys transfer basically, you know, kind of the mass exodus type of deal. But, yeah, I mean, I actually don't think it hurts KU that much. Schools that, you know, took care of business, used that early signing period. I think it actually hurts KU football the most just because of there are schools that got in like almost a dozen spring practices already. And then you think about a place like Kansas with Brent Dierman and wanting to install an offense for the first time. He never got a spring to install his offense. And the fact that now he won't get that. And, you know, who knows how long this thing is going to last. If it really does have the potential to last into the summer, to last past June, July, whatever, it doesn't matter how they make it work. They're not going to be able to add extra practices, you know, more than maybe one or two. So you think about those teams. I can't remember if it's Clemson. I think it might be Clemson that got in like 7 or 10 practices or something like that. I mean, that's just invaluable, and a place like Kansas could have really used that.
It hurts the players more than the schools, does it not, though?
Yeah, to an extent it does. It certainly hurts the guys who could have earned their way into playing time, and it hurts their development and their chance to, you know, to really have this way to improve. I know a lot of kids, both basketball, football, recruiting especially, who just aren't working out in gyms and on fields right now because they don't have those same areas available to them to do so, and I think that really is unfortunate and could hurt the development of them. I think there are ways around that. But, yeah, I mean, you look at a place like Kansas. I mean, this is the most micro of micro examples, but a guy like Jamal Horn, you know, we only get to see, we being media, like an hour or so of practice, you know, a couple times a week. And I was going back over our spring practice coverage from last year, and I noted Jamal Horn's name like 4 or 5 times as, oh, hey, this guy made a nice catch. This guy looked good in this drill. And, you know, you really don't get to see that much. But you fast forward to the fall, and he's starting at kick returner as a redshirt freshman. You find out he's the fastest guy on the team, and there's a lot to him. And you lose opportunities like that to discover what you have. You lose opportunities for those guys to develop, to build chemistry. You think about the early enrollees. I think KU had like 6 of them on campus, so guys who came up, you know, a semester before they'd even get started. Now they're back home. I think it really does hurt. I think it hurts all the way around. And, you know, again, if Kansas had the same offensive coordinator, if they had hired Brent Dierman, you know, 2 years ago, and it was just really, you know, business as usual, whatever, I don't think it would affect as much as the kind of situation they're in right now.
Talking to Scott Chasen of Fog.net here for a few more minutes on Rock Chuck Sports Talk. We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, everybody's trying to answer that question, but the prospect of potentially losing a season or having it, you know, pushed down the road significantly, seems like everything's kind of on the table at this point as we're in this limbo period trying to figure out what the timetable is going to be. But a lot of schools have already come out and talked either publicly or anonymously about how it would almost be a death sentence to have to cancel an entire season because no schools, I think it was the AD of Iowa State, Jamie Pollard, who said today, nobody has a plan in place as to how they would recover financially from missing an entire football season. It has been no secret about the financial struggles that the Kansas football program has endured over the past couple of years as they try to get things back on track. How crippling would it be for KU to miss an entire season of football?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would hurt a lot. I think it would hurt other places more, most likely. And I think you'd really have to lean on guys like your boosters and donors, and even then probably get some kind of additional payout or find some way. Maybe, you know, I don't know what the insurance rules are and what they could get back. But you start to think about missing out on a whole sports season. I mean, just think about in general if this country is dealing with this. You know, literally in a calendar year, what it's going to do to a lot of places of business and whatnot. I just obviously this isn't really something you could prepare for. I mean, beyond knowing about it in, you know, whether it was late December, early January when this first became like on the world's radar of happening, and then you start to, you know, we don't really have a plan in place for this. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think there is a perfect solution. I don't know what these schools can survive and what they would need, you know, financially to make it all work. But it's kind of funny to think about and kind of silly that, you know, all this talk about $50 million stadiums or renovations, and I'm not just talking about Kansas, I'm talking about everywhere, you know, bringing in rappers and performers, and Drake is at Kentucky's late night, and, you know, obviously Snoop Dogg at Kansas's late night, and, you know, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on all these things. And then, you know, this happens, and it's like, oh, you know, maybe having saved and stored up some of that money, you know, really could have helped. And, again, that's not blaming anyone for a lack of foresight on a world pandemic. I don't think anyone could have had. But it's just interesting. You think about how much money is in athletics. It's kind of surprising that the whole system could fall apart really over, you know, 1 year, potentially, of just not doing it.
You said that it would hurt other schools or other programs more than it would Kansas. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think there are other schools where football is much more important in terms of how much money they make. I think it goes on both ends of the spectrum, right? Like, it's probably a bell curve. And you think about, like, little schools that football may be their major source of revenue and their only source, you know, their only sport that they make money from. And then there may be others, the powers of the world, that their football program is a driver for everything. Not only in their athletic department, but in their city. So maybe school would be the right way to put it with those. But like you think about in Alabama or Ohio State or something that, you know, I'm guessing a lot of people are employed with money, maybe indirectly through those sports, whether it's stadium events, whether it's merchandise, whether it's just businesses that relate to them, that it affects a whole lot of people because their brand is such a national brand. Maybe Notre Dame falls into that category too. But I think specifically of some of those smaller schools that maybe their football program, maybe that's it. And maybe it's not just small schools. Maybe there are some medium and big size schools that are that way, that, you know, hey, it's football, and then everything else. So, you know, in that regard, I would say Kansas is probably, my guess would be, not in the worst shape of all the others, but still it's tough. I mean, you go without a full football season, that's really going to shake some things up. I don't know that we're there yet. I don't know that that's going to happen, but it seems like enough people are talking about it to where it's maybe time to consider that something, you know, could be moved or changed.
You know, and I know that Jamie Pollard for Iowa State, who I mentioned earlier, he is one of the first people to come out and kind of speak about the fiscal disaster that this is going to be for athletic departments, because as we've talked about on the show this week, football doesn't just fund football, right? Football funds a lot of those non-revenue sports for a lot of schools who aren't bringing in money for some of those sports. So it wouldn't just impact football. It would impact the entire athletic department. And I know Pollard said earlier today they're shaving $3 million off their athletic department payroll of $27 million. And I think, I know that that's not necessarily, it may be a little crass to say it, but that's where the money is at that you can afford to kind of move around. There are a lot of people in athletic departments making some pretty exorbitant salaries, and if you want to find money elsewhere, like, that's probably where it's going to have to come from for a lot of schools.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if you saw some sports go away just because, like you're saying, schools will say, hey, look, I'm not able to fund, you know, whether it's soccer or, you know, track and field. I think Kansas used to have a men's soccer right up until maybe a few years back, and I know some schools have actually added other sports, so it's tough to know everything at this point because, like you said, right, there's still a lot of unknown. You still don't know where this whole thing is going to go, but, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about, and by the way, to your credit, by the way, I have been taking in all the trivia stuff you guys have done, and I'm shocked at how much interest, like, just personally, there has been in, like, these individual people as if they are teams. And I think that really speaks to just this general idea right now of that there is a huge void and someone's going to figure out what to do with it. Because, like, look, if the world goes on like this for another year, we miss out on a full sports season, all these revenue streams are out, like, there's going to have to be something. We're not just going to sit inside for a year. We all have, or the people who, you know, are fortunate and able to keep their jobs and keep revenue coming in. Like, that's, you know, there's still an economy. There are still going to be people purchasing things. So I'm just curious to see kind of what steps up and fill that void. But not to give you too much credit for kickstarting the economy, but I think you guys are doing a tremendous job with your trivia.
I don't know if we're kickstarting the economy. I don't know how we're impacting the economy, but I'm also not going to say that we're not kickstarting the economy. That remains to be seen. Thank you for the plug on RCST Trivia, which begins in about 20 minutes, by the way. Scott Chasen, here's a plug for him. You can check out all of his work at fog.net and 247sports.com. Always appreciate the time, Scott. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. 20 minutes till 4. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert and Derek Johnson on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
RCST trivia continues. We are in the first round of the West Region. We will complete our first round matchups of the West Region tomorrow. We'll do two today and two tomorrow. The first one we will get into today, the 6-11 matchup. Who will advance first? Let's meet today's contestants. The sixth seed in the West Region is Alex, and Alex joins us now on the show. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing very well. How are you feeling going into your first round matchup? What would you say is your level of confidence?
I feel good. I feel a little underseeded. Ship me out to the West. Playing in Boise, Idaho, I believe.
Yeah, it is. It's not the greatest trivia fan base out there, but it doesn't matter. You just take care of your business. Keep your eyes on the prize. What things have you done to prepare for this matchup in the past few days?
Listen to the podcast of the past rounds and just missing college basketball.
That's really smart. I think the people who are listening to previous rounds give themselves a bit of an advantage just to know what kind of questions they're going to get.
It makes you familiar, but I think it also, I mean, there's not like repeat questions or anything, but there could be like hints from other questions that you take into the next question the next day or two.
Alex, you're going to be taking on the 11 seed, Brian. What do you know about your competition?
Never heard of him.
Wow! Whoa! The lack of respect! Unbelievable. We'll see if it works out for you. Let's meet that guy, the 11 seed, Brian. Brian, you just heard Alex say he's never even heard of you. Does that make you maybe even more motivated going into this matchup? Uh-oh. We've got an issue there with Brian's phone. I can't hear anything that Brian is saying. Brian, can you try talking again? Because we're going to need to hear you a little better than we are right now.
Yeah, are you guys there?
Can you distinguish what he's saying?
I don't know. It sounds like he's talking through a water tube.
Yeah, Brian.
If you're on speakerphone, I would recommend taking it off.
If you're underwater also, please come up and do the trivia above water because we can't really hear what you're saying, bud.
All right, I've come up for air.
There we go.
Much better. Much better. Solid move. Brian, you just heard Alex say he's never even heard of you. How does that make you feel?
I've been weighing under the radar this season, but I'm ready to go.
All right, guys. Well, let me go through the rules here before we begin the competition. You will each have 10 seconds to answer your question. If you answer correctly, you will hear this sound. If you answer incorrectly, you'll hear this sound. If you don't answer by the end of 10 seconds, we treat that as an incorrect answer. So even if you don't have an idea, blurt something out. If all else fails, just guess Wilt Chamberlain, all right? That would be my advice to you. If you both get your answers correct, we move on to the next round of questioning. You both get them incorrect, we also move on to the next round of questioning. And one person will win. When you get an answer right, the other person gets it wrong. The questions will get more difficult as we go through subsequent rounds. Alex, do you have any questions before we begin?
I'm ready.
Brian, do you have any questions?
Nope, let's go.
All right, Brian, you are the 11 seed, so you have the option of answering first or answering second. Which do you choose?
I will go second.
All right, so the first question is for our 6th seed, Alex. Alex, your first question. What country was Andrew Wiggins born in?
Canada.
That is correct. What was the nickname they gave him?
Maple Jordan?
I didn't like that.
I like it. I think it's clever.
You think he's lived up to the nickname of being Naples Jordan. All right, Brian, your first question. Which continent was Joel Embiid born in? Which continent was Joel Embiid born in?
Africa.
That is correct. Do you know the country, Derek?
Cameroon?
Cameroon. Yeah, I think that's right. All right, so now we're going to move on, maybe up the difficulty just a little bit, and we will go back to you, Alex. Alex, KU lost in the Final Four of 2018 to Villanova. Had they beaten Villanova, who would they have played in the 2018 National Championship game?
University of Michigan.
That is correct. Villanova beat Michigan in that 2018 title game. All right, so back to you, Brian. You just heard the answer there, Michigan. KU was one of the other Final Four teams. Villanova was one of the other Final Four teams. So who was the fourth Final Four team in 2018 outside of Michigan, Villanova, and Kansas?
Oh, let's see. I'm going
need an
to
answer.
Say South Carolina.
Oh, boy. Yeah, South Carolina was in 2017. The correct answer was actually Loyola Chicago. Porter Mosier, the head coach. They had a couple local kids.
Sister Jean.
Yeah, Sister Jean. Yesterday, I think somebody actually referred to themselves as the Loyola Chicago.
No, I think they said the George Mason of the tournament.
I think we got both.
Another level.
I think we got both, yeah. So, yeah, the correct answer was actually Loyola of Chicago. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow, Brian. Immediate aftermath of hearing that correct answer. What's going through your head right now?
That was a tough question for the second round, so I'm going to put that on you guys.
Oh, wow. See, I said that we were waiting to hear somebody kind of throw us under the bus, so you feel like you didn't get a fair shake in this tournament.
I was just a year off, but hats off to Alex, and good luck to him.
Alex, you answered just two questions correctly. It was enough to advance you on to the next round. How's it feel right now, man?
Feels good. Got some time to get the walk-ons in. Don't have to spend too much energy for the next round.
Well, congratulations, Alex. You are moving on. Brian, thank you very much for your participation. You never know, man. You never know. Yesterday we had a matchup going 10 rounds. Today this one goes just two rounds. You heard him. I said yesterday I was waiting for one of the competitors, one of the people who got eliminated, to blame us, to throw us under the bus, to say that the question was unfair for the round. Do you disagree?
I don't think it was. I mean, it was only 2 years ago. If we would have been asking a Final Four question about something in the like early 2000s, I think that would have probably been.
Well, and it was
three,
a Final Four year that KU was in the Final Four. Like 2 years ago, KU was in the Final Four. Sister Jean, there was a couple local kids from KC on the Loyola Chicago team. Did you know the answer?
Yeah, I mean, I came up with the question, so.
You kind of ruined the bit there, didn't you? I thought we went to a third party. I thought we went to Deloitte.
That was the selection committee.
Oh, that's right. They seeded the whole tournament. So Alex moves on to the second round. He will be facing who in the second round of the West region? We're going to find out coming up next.
Real quick. Okay, so he was the sixth seed. If I remember right, all the higher seeds won yesterday, or the better seed, I should say.
Yeah, 2 days ago we had a bunch of upsets. Yesterday we had zero upsets.
All shock. In the West region. So
we've got a 3-14 matchup coming up next between Andy and Skyler. Will the favorites continue to advance? We'll find out on the other side. It's RCST Trivia.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert and Derek Johnson on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
All right, so the sixth seed, Alex, advances to the second round. Who will he be facing off against? We're going to find out right now. It is the 3-14 matchup in the West region. As Derek pointed out in the last segment, we're on a bit of a streak right now.
Chalk.
With all of the lower seed. Is it lower or higher? I never know.
That's why I never know. I just say better. The better seed.
The better seeds have been advancing here over the past couple of days. We'll see if that's going to continue in the 3-14 matchup. First, let's get to know the 3 seed in the West region is Andy. Hello, Andy.
How's it going?
It's going very well. Andy, what makes you think you can win the RCST Trivia Tournament?
Well, look, it's been a really good year. We play a really, really tough schedule. You know, I think we've gotten the experience that we need to be able to kind of push through here and make it all the way.
Right. Great coach speak. You clearly have done your homework. What sorts of things have you been doing to kind of psych yourself up? I've said before that your biggest enemy is not your opponent, it's the clock. Are you worried about that playing a factor into your performance today?
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. It's definitely something you have to worry about, but the main key, I think, is just to not let it psych you out.
All right, well, let's find out who your opponent is. The 14 seed in the West region is Skyler. What's up, Skyler?
What's up, my man?
Skyler, what would it mean for you to win the RCST tournament? What would that mean for your legacy as a KU fan, as a trivia aficionado?
Oh, man, I was born a Jayhawk, been a fan my entire life. Let's just say if I was still living in Lawrence, I'd streak to master it if I won.
Now, you heard me say at the beginning there's a bit of a streak going on right now. We haven't had many upsets the past couple of days. Do you think you have what it takes to end that streak today?
I mean, I don't mean to bring this up, but I'm ready to be the Bucknell over KU.
Wow.
14 over 3.
Wait.
Ready to mow some lawn. And
that was his first question. We got to get rid of that now. No.
I love the enthusiasm by both Andy and Skyler. All right, guys, you know how it works, but a quick refresher here on the rules. You will each have 10 seconds to answer. If you both answer correctly, we will move on to a second round of questioning. We will keep going until one of you gets it right, one of you gets it wrong. The questions will get more difficult as we advance through the rounds. Andy, you're the 3 seed. Are you ready? Do you have any questions for us?
Nope, I'm good to go.
Skyler, do you have any questions?
Ready, steady.
All right, Skyler, you are the 14 seed. You have the option of answering first or answering second. Which do you choose?
I will defer to Andy.
All right, Andy, as the 3 seed, the first question goes to you. KU lost to 3 teams this year in 2020. I just need you to name me one of them.
Villanova.
That's right. Villanova was the second loss for KU this year. Now, Skyler, your first question. How many of those losses this year for KU came inside Allen Fieldhouse?
Oh, gosh.
How many home losses for KU?
One.
Man, you sweated that one out. That is correct. That one home loss. Man.
Would that have been our first level one loser?
That would have been the first person to miss. But you know what? We've had other people get close. You get it right. You get it right.
Well, it matters.
You move
survive
on.
In advance.
It's all that matters. All right. Now we've got that out of the way. We're going to move on to the second round of questioning. Andy, back to you. In Kansas's overtime win in the 2018 Elite Eight game over Duke, one player scored every point in overtime for the Jayhawks. Which player was that?
Which player was that? That would have been the one player that scored all the points in overtime. It would have been Frank Mason.
Frank Mason was not on that 2018 Elite Eight
game. Oh, gosh. I got the wrong team. I was in the wrong year.
The correct answer was Malik Newman. Malik Newman scored every point in overtime for KU. All right, so, Skyler, your second question. If you answer this correctly, you win. You move on to the next round. If you answer incorrectly, we just go on to another round of questioning. Skyler, your question. I need you to name me a KU player, any KU player who has transferred away from KU to another school. Give me one player who has transferred from Kansas to another school.
Doesn't matter what year or whatever.
Nope.
Charlie Moore.
That is correct. Charlie Moore just last year transferred away from Kansas to DePaul. Actually, three players on that team did so. Okay, so both of our matchups today are over after just one round. Skyler, you advance after getting two questions correctly. Tell me how you're feeling right now.
Oh, man, I'm about to go hit some golf balls in the backyard in the chipping net and man, ready to soak it in. Move on to round two.
Well, yeah, enjoy that. You deserve it. Conversely, Andy, I heard the pain in your voice when I told you that Frank Mason wasn't on on that team, that Frank Mason had graduated the year before. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, you know, the pressure got to me, and my mind just kind of went blank. Unfortunately, I wasn't as prepared as I thought I was, but we'll make sure that we are ready for next year.
So over the weekend, Bill Self actually did a rewatch of this game. I'm guessing that wasn't part of your prep work.
Unfortunately, no, it was not.
All right. Well, yeah. What kinds of things are you going to do to get ready for next year's competition?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be watching a whole bunch of games and going back and kind of just reviewing everything that I can think of.
Skyler, you move on to the next round. How long are you going to give yourself to enjoy this moment before you start preparing for your second round matchup?
Oh, I'm preparing right now, buddy.
You're the only.
I'm preparing right now.
You're the only lower seed to win over the higher seed in the first round, so you have an extra chip on your shoulder as the Cinderella in the West region.
I love it. Just like KU over Arizona in 2003. I love it.
I love that he...
in the West region.
He went from Bucknell to KU.
I love that he's like peppering in old references just to kind of floss and let everybody know that, yeah, I'm ready to play. Well, congratulations, Skyler. You move on to the next round. Andy, thank you very much. Better luck next year. All right, that's all we have today for RCST Trivia. We'll have two more matchups in the West region coming up tomorrow. We'll have that whole second round set after tomorrow's show. With Derek Johnson, I'm Nick Schwert. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert and Derek Johnson on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
Matt Galloway of the Topeka Capital Journal will join us coming up tomorrow at 4 o'clock. He's got his weekly movie review, Alien. We went from Terminator last week to Alien this week. Are there any sporting events in Alien?
No, unless you count hunting.
Hunting can be, it's an Olympic sport, is it not? Well, sharpshooting is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Close enough.
There's something there. And if we extend this far enough, we can make every movie into a sports movie. Somebody had said when I mentioned the Tour Championship for Happy Gilmore, they'd said that it's not even the best sporting event in that movie. The boxing match between Happy and Bob Barker is the number one sporting event in Happy. There's like six different events you could do there, right? Hockey tryouts?
Yep. Whatever you would call him getting just hit by baseballs.
Yeah. The Karate Kid?
That's a good one, yeah.
Nobody mentioned Rocky, which honestly I kind of liked a little bit because I'm on the record as having said that Rocky's the most overrated sports franchise ever.
It's just too simple. It's too easy. That's why, like, I don't want to do anything that's a true story. I don't want to do anything like that where it's too easy. It's too close to a real sporting event, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, voting has ended for the championship game of Matt's movie review bracket. We started this thing over a month ago. So just for the record, everybody's doing a different bracket on Twitter right now to fill the void. We started this before we even realized that college basketball was going to be ended abruptly. But the voting is over. We have a champion. Your 2020 champion is Shawshank Redemption, the number one movie as voted on by you, the people. It received 70% of the votes over the runner-up Saving Private Ryan. We knew this was going to happen. It didn't break a sweat. That is the most dominant championship run I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's reminiscent of Villanova in 2018.
Yeah, 2018
it really
Villanova, 2009 North Carolina, other schools.
Of other various teams, yeah.
And this, quite honestly, I think it's more impressive.
I think so, too. I mean, you're talking about 20-point wins in every game where nobody even felt like they had a chance. Maybe there were some interesting storylines going into the Final Four matchup between Shawshank and Happy Gilmore. But, I mean, it was the galactic Death Star on its death march, just destroying every planet in its way. And I don't know what to do now, because if we ever did another one of these brackets, we couldn't put Shawshank in. I think it's, like, retired. Yeah. It gets its jersey hung up in the rafters, and you just say, hey, Shawshank, you win. You're never going to be in another tournament again because you have already solidified yourself as the most beloved movie ever.
Yeah, you don't need to establish a dynasty. You don't need to win two in a row, three in a row. We know.
Well, I mean, think about the movies that were in the bracket this year. there's some really great ones who didn't even come close to it. So what makes you think that anybody would ever stand a chance against it?
Agreed.
By the way, Hawkman, who I think is in the competition, right?
Yes, he is. He's the one seed
in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So he got home court advantage,
wow,
too. He gets to play in Omaha for the first round. He just tweeted at us the scheme that college basketball documentary we were just talking about. It is on HBO West tonight at 5:55 Kansas time. So if you want to watch it and you got an HBO subscription, there you go. By the way, HBO, I just saw, is going to give a certain sampling of their library out for free on their HBO Now app. So if you don't have an HBO subscription, they're giving away like a dozen or 20 different shows that you can go and watch for free. More companies should be doing this right now. The big companies, the ones who have lots of money, just give stuff away for free, right? It's trying times. People are losing their jobs. There's like, what, 20 million people filed for unemployment? Come on, do the right thing. Give away some cool stuff for free. I'm still waiting for that email from my landlord. It's April 2nd. I have 2 more days to pay rent. Still hoping that email is going to come in saying that I don't have to pay rent this month. It's the right thing.
That's not going
to
happen.
It's the right thing to do. I've seen other people on social media saying that they get free rent. Why don't I?
They're the lucky ones, I guess.
Now,
exception, not the rule.
Now, am I off? Am I out of work right now? No.
That's
do I
thing.
Need free rent right now? Debatable, but you probably would end up coming to the conclusion of no, I don't. But if other people are getting it, I should get it too. Right? And that's what America is all about. And that's all I have to say on that. All right, before we get out of here, a special rapid-fire edition of Let's Rank Stuff, the most self-explanatory segment in the history of sports talk radio. Wanted to get to this yesterday, didn't have time. But do you know what yesterday was?
April Fool's Day?
Yesterday was the anniversary of the creation of the dollar sign. Oliver Pollock, a New Orleans businessman, created the dollar sign on April 1st of 1778. What a great Advent. Can you imagine where we would be? What's with the
you
death
said
metal?
You wanted rapid fire. This
all right
gets that going.
So I got me thinking, the dollar sign, what a great symbol. Is it the greatest symbol?
No.
That's why I think today we're going to take a look at the top five and the bottom five, the best and the worst symbols ever created. Let's start with the worst. The fifth worst symbol, the percentage sign.
I disagree. That's a very important symbol.
I don't like doing percentages. Give it to me as a fraction.
No, disagree.
Give it to me as a decimal.
Way better.
Give it to me as a decimal point.
Oh, my gosh. That is your worst take you've ever had.
No, percentages,
next.
Getting the sign. The symbol is too big. The fourth worst sign or symbol, the and sign, the curly Q and sign.
That's a great one. It saves space.
No, it's terrible because I can't write it by hand, and that's annoying to me, so it comes in as
wow,
the fourth worst. Number three, the backslash. Who uses a backslash?
I'm with you on that one.
We use are forward slashes.
I honestly
what
don't
is
know
the purpose?
Difference.
I don't think I've ever used the backslash. It's utterly useless.
Wait,
and it's
the
third
back
worst
and which
symbol.
Is the front?
The one that moves backwards, left to right, going backwards. You don't ever use it. Not on websites, not on slashies, not on anything. Second worst symbol, the apostrophe. I never know when to use it.
Okay, that just means you're stupid.
No, I'm not. I'm an English major, so if anybody would know it, it's me. I still
apparently
don't understand.
Not. You have a degree in English, and you don't understand the apostrophe?
Is it for possession?
That's,
is it for multiple?
Boy.
Can you use it for non-proper nouns? I don't know. The apostrophe sucks. It's the second worst symbol. But the worst symbol of all symbols is the exclamation point. Why?
No!
It's overused!
We couldn't be having this conversation talking at this level without the exclamation
Too
point!
Too many people use it incorrectly. Correctly.
You're using it right now.
I hate it when people send the exclamation point when it's not necessary. It's like a way to be emphatic in an email when you're trying to be nice. Stop. I don't need the exclamation point for you to tell me that you're excited in an email. Just put a period
you
there and get on
with
it.
Tone out some way.
Don't need it. Don't care for it.
That's ridiculous.
Get
that
on
should
with
be
it.
Number one,
get
honestly.
Get your message
on the
out.
Best.
It's the absolute worst. The exclamation point overused. It stinks. It's the worst symbol. Let's get to the five best symbols ever created. The fifth best, the asterisk. Think about
no.
all the different ways in life that we use an asterisk.
We don't.
We
only
do, though.
Use it for cheating.
No, you put it next to something and you say, what's that asterisk mean? Let me look at the bottom of the page. Maybe that will provide some
and
insight.
And it sucks because it causes extra reading.
You know
just
what else
put
it
in
do?
A parenthesis.
You know what else it can do? If I want to curse through a text or online, but I can't get away with it, I put F asterisk asterisk K and you fill in the
You're
blanks.
You're playing with too many 12-year-olds on Call of Duty.
Number
right now.
Four, I do. I'm going to play some Call of Duty later tonight. Number four, the fourth best is the at sign. The at sign is one of the newer ones. Like, I don't even know what the
it's
was it even around
not new. Yes,
before the internet.
There have been emails.
Yeah, before the emails. Before the internet.
Sure.
What was the point of the at sign? I mean, the plus sign's been around forever,
well, for
but
sports,
the at sign.
I mean, that was
kind
versatile.
Of the new, it's kind of the new kid on the block.
Emails, social media, and for, like, if you're looking at a sporting event, Kansas at Baylor.
Way yeah. better than just saying at. And it's kind of cool looking, too, mm-hmm. right? It's curly cute. It's fun to write out by hand. The at sign, the fourth best symbol. Number three, the dollar sign. Turned, like, 200 and something yesterday, 240 or something. The dollar sign's great. I love it even when you're not talking about money, just to say, like, that's money. Like, mm-hmm. oh, just put dollar signs there. Or when you made a lot of money. Like off a bet, off of gambling, like you bet on KU to win the game, and then you just tweet out dollar signs. Everybody knows what you mean. Dollar sign is great. It's the third best symbol. Number two, the question mark. The question mark is vital.
Yeah.
Are you asking me a question or are you telling me I need that question mark to know?
What is your thought on the Spanish question mark that they have the question mark upside down that comes at the start of the sentence and at the end?
I love
so
it. I don't
know
what
at the start you can ask it like a question.
Yeah, see, I never knew that until right now.
Oh.
And I hated it before. Now I love it.
Yeah, because it signals right when you start reading the question, you know it's a question.
I had no idea that that's what it meant.
How?
Why does it have to be upside down,
I think
though?
We're just learning from this that your education was very poor.
The best symbol ever created, though, it's seen a massive resurgence in recent years. Formerly known as the pound sign, now commonly referred to as the hashtag. Think of the versatility that the pound sign has. Oh, you're calling in customer service? Please enter your number and hit the pound sign.
How often
Boom.
Do you call customer service?
Oh, hashtag something? Hashtag RCST trivia? Boom. Oh, you want to tell me a number? Number two. Number five. Various other numbers. The number sign slash hashtag slash pound sign. It is the most versatile of all symbols. It is one of the most widely used symbols. You see it in everyday life. It is unquestionably the number one symbol of all symbols.
If you wanted to go with versatility, it had to be the period or the comma. And the fact boring. That neither of those are on there is pretty bad.
Period and the comma, they're boring. They're just like the kids who have been around forever.
What about a colon? A semicolon?
Semicolon?
Parentheses.
Are you the biggest nerd in the world? Who uses a semicolon? Come on.
What about an arrow? You're pointing to things.
You are proving right now while you're not qualified.
The plus sign?
You're just staring. You're just looking down at the keyboard.
The minus sign?
See, you didn't do your research. You're just staring at your keyboard trying to come up answers.
Unbelievable.
That's why I do the list.
The worst one is that little squiggly
line.
That's
why I do the list.
The best was that exclamation.
And you just sit there throwing out comments from the peanut gallery. Thanks for your input. That's my list. I stick to it. That's Let's Rank Stuff. Best symbols. And this has been Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Big thanks to Scott Chasen. Thanks to all of today's contestants. We continue RCS trivia tomorrow. And we will talk to Matt Galloway of the Topeka Capital Journal. For Derek Johnson, I'm Nick Schwert. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:00.